Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Dalet Amud Aleph. There are 5 lines on top are the words of a chitim, or in the middle of a question. We mentioned yesterday the shita of Rav Menashe Bar Gada, and Rav Menashe Bar Gada was understanding that when it comes to someone who's quotes as chach is ein lo yados. So the Gemara had a question. Seemingly, there's a machlokas tanaim about this, if that's really true or not. So the Gemara gave a potential answer. The Gemara said that really that everyone's going to agree that if you're kotzei tzchach is ein lo yados. So why was there machlokas in that braisa that we quoted? Because you were kotzei tzchach lachila, you were cutting the produce for a purpose of eating it, and then you decided you want to use it for tzchach. So in that case, the Tanakhama is going to hold that the produce doesn't have the lach of yados in regards to tuma, while the achirim would hold that it does have the lachas of yados. So that was the machloket. So the Gemara says, but if that's true, katzon lachila, how could it possibly be that the Rabbanu would ever say that it shouldn't be susceptible to tumah? It should for sure be. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara brought a whole raya that you need a maisa to be mafkia the previous maisa. You can't do it by machshava. So if the fact that you now decided you want to use it for schach is not enough, you need to do a physical maisa to change it to show that it would be something that would make it not susceptible to tumah anymore. So the Gemara now suggests maybe v'chitema, that's what we're holding. V'chitema hanimili kelim dechashiva. You should suggest that this rule, that something that you can't remove your previous thought with the case of tumah only is referring to kelim, things that are of a significant nature because they're the chashivah, they're significant, you know, different vessels, different kelim that you have, different pots, pans, only those things would be removed with a maisev al yadus. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about stems, things of edible products, which aren't chashiv at all, the latorach achiluninu, which are only as useful as the purpose of eating the foods itself. So it's nothing, it's not a chashiv act. So the machshava nasev, machshava salka, that you should suggest that something, that this case will become something, becomes a yad through a machshava, and also maybe you can also remove its status through a machshava as well. Because we're not about yados, and anyway, it's something that's not, it's not considered something that's chashuv, so therefore maybe machshava should be a different case. The Gemara says, is that really true though? Ve'atnan. Don't we learn in a Mishnah? Kol yados ha'ochlin shebazza megorin tahoros. When it comes to handles of foods, if you have the yad, literally the stems of the fruits, that someone, if that's going to be a shayla of what exactly is basasan, that's going to be the machlokas later. We're going to see that in a moment. But before we get to machlokas, we'll just have you're breaking it up somehow or another. On the threshing floor, they're going to be tahor. They're not going to be susceptible to tumah. So now, we're talking about over here the case of the basisa, of breaking up. We're showing that a person clearly doesn't want the yados anymore of the grain. And having lost the fact that you don't want them as a grain, they're not going to be susceptible to tumah. And that would be the first part. However, Rabbi Yossi says that they're still tummy, they're susceptible to tumah. So now we see over here, there's a question regarding bosasan. So the Gemara says, well, let's first flesh out this question before we continue and understand whether we have a question. The Gemara says, no, this Mishnah would be fine, Bishlam of the Madamar bosasan heter agudan. That when it comes to, if you lushan of besisa, someone is breaking up the threshing floor, if that's what it means over here, is breaking it up, you're untying the binding of the sheaves, that's going to be okay. As Rashi quotes, how does he understand it? Based on the Hemshech of the Gemara, the Gemara is going to have it. What does this mean? Rashi quotes the Pasuk. This should be actually pretty, this part of the Pasuk maybe not as famous, but the Hemshech of the Pasuk we know because we say it by a bris. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says, you were literally naked and you weren't around, but this is referring to Klal Yisrael. That part should be a little more familiar. We say it by a bris, that you should be living in your blood. That's the Dam Milan Dam Pesach. It's a very beautiful lashon over there. Hashem saw us that we didn't have any mitzvahs. We were empty of everything. And the two dams, the Dam Milan and the Dam Pesach, that's what brought us out of Mitzrayim. So either way, what does it mean you are mispossessed with the Mayach? You are mispossessed with the Mayach means you are rolling in your blood. Literally, you're rolling in your blood. So here it means that it's untying. You're untying it over here. So Shapir. So according again, so this is, if that's what Basasan in our Mishnah means, then our Mishnah is going to understand that when it comes to this case, that you have a machshava is able to reverse affect something that you had previously done. You wanted it as a handle and a machshava. I'm tying them is not going to affect the physical change in actual yados and the stem themselves. All you're showing is that you don't longer want them anymore, and that seemingly is a machshava. And therefore, you would this would be if that's understanding over here, then the Tanakhama is holding that the stems are no longer going to be settled to tumah. He's understanding that you could have a situation where a yad is removed without actually physically doing anything. All you're having is a machshava, because again, the fact that you're undoing the grain is nothing to do with the yad, with the stem of it. So therefore, the stem itself had nothing done to it other than the fact that you're showing you don't want it, seemingly, sorry, you're not actually physically showing, you're mentally showing you don't want it. That is a machshava, and that's going to work according to the Rabbanan and our Mishnah. So the Rabbanan of the previous price seemingly would hold that way. So that would be a possible answer. However, says the Gemara, Laman de Amar, my bosom, and according to one who says that bosom is not breaking up about the end of spreading out, rather bosom mamish, as Rashi quotes, the Pasuk says, Bishimcha navos kaminu, we will trample. So over here, it means something closer to the fact that it's going to be trampling. So then, you're letting the animals trample them, or by literally you're trampling them, so you're actually doing a physical action. So you're actually physically getting rid of the stems. So what is there to say? I mean, according to this understanding, even the Tanar Kama requires a maise, requires an actual action of crushing to show that you don't want this, to want this as a yad anymore. So according to this, there is no manda amar that just removing something by machshava should be okay. So in which case, you have nobody that should understand that when it comes to schach, if you initially cut them for the purpose of eating them as food, and then you decide that you don't want it for that purpose, and you use them as schach, according to that, there's nobody that showed the fact that I changed my mind should be enough to show me that it's kosher. There's no Tana that would say that according to this version over here. So the Gemara says, Hachadami Shabbazan Mamish. So here in the Braisa, we're dealing with the case where someone actually crushes the stems, and therefore you would do a physical maisa to the stems to get rid of them, and therefore they're going to be kosher as schach. So the Gemara says, that's great. It's so great that there shouldn't be a machloket about that. The fact that you cut off the stems is a maisa showing that you don't want it for the purpose of achila anymore. It's something that's not going to be acceptable to tumah anymore, and everyone should agree to that. Pashut. So the Gemara says, how could it be that others would hold in the Braisa with achirim, unnamed people? A lot of times achirim refers to Rabbi Meir. He's the unnamed person because, whatever, we're not going to right now. Rabbi Meir is usually referred to as achirim. So the Gemara says, so what would be that reasoning of the Achirim and the Braisa? So clearly this is a full-fledged Maisa. So Gemara says, no, the Amar Rabbi Yossi. Maybe the Achirim held like Rabbi Yossi in a different context. Rabbi Yossi says, it's not, Rabbi Yossi says, with regards to food that someone had broken up on the threshing floor, the thing that we've been discussing right now, Rabbi Yossi mitam, and Rabbi Yossi says that they're tame. Why? Why was Rabbi Yossi saying they're tame? Hi, Mai. So firstly, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that because the crushing the straw is not enough to say that there was a yad, to get rid of its status as a yad, because it's still somewhat a purpose of achila, so you wanted it maybe for achila, so it's still maybe you still wanted it for achila. So the Gemara says, but what's the comparison? Hi, Mai, how can you compare the two? Bishlam has some time with Rabbi Yossi there when it comes to Rabbi Yossi with regards to, he was talking about a case of straw that was crushed on the goren by the threshing floor. So Rabbi Yossi over there is going to understand that case is going to be, the straw is going to be acceptable to tumah because chazil Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, because it makes sense because of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. There's a lot of opinions over here to hold your head. Because we're on Achirim, now we're on Rabbi Yossi, now we're on Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. You have to hold of all three. Damar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, no, there's still something that could be used for. It can be used to turn over the grain with a pitchfork. If you could do it with that pitchfork, and therefore it's something that's usable to eat it, and therefore there's the benefit for the straw. There's something that's still beneficial for you to now to use it, to move it around, and it's still something that you could use la'achila. But here in the case of the Braisa, someone who is cutting off the stems, what in the world are you making it usable for? Clearly you're showing that you want it for schach. There's no benefit to the actual food itself. So the Gemara says, "Chazel chisasa minka lo begalai." No, it's going to be shayach to use it if someone is able. You can now actually start holding the grain by the straw itself. So that, since that straw is providing a benefit, so the achirim hold that benefit is still enough for the actual purpose of the achila, or something other than using it for schach. And therefore, according to the achirim, then this din over here should not be a problem, shaila of the yad. And according to the Achirim, it would still be an issue and not enough of mice, and that's why Achirim are so machmir, and that's why there's a machlokas over here, and they would hold that it's still problematic to use this for schach. Okay, so the Gemara says, now Gufa, let's go back to understanding the previously very hard sugyas, and now we're going to repeat it and go back and analyze a little bit more. Kol yadus ha'ochlin shevazim begorin tahor. So we said that all of the yad, anything that's going to be a yad, is a stem or thing that food that someone broke up, and the threshing floor is going to be tar. Here is something with regards to the wheat. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi still says that they're a problem. Gemara says, my basan. What is the meaning of breaking up over here? So this is the machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan, our basan mamash. They're crushing them. Rabbi Lazar Almer, Hitir Nagad. And that's the machlokas that we just said we're going to get reference to is right now. That's the machlokas in the Amoraim of how to understand what does this praisa mean when it says the lashon of bosasan. So Gemara says, Bishlam, Rabbi, really should be a Lazar. And that's what the Gersha changes it on the side. Rabbi Lazar, the Amar basan, Hitir Nagad. So now I understand, according to Rabbi Lazar, says that breaking up means that you're just untying the binding. So, Hainu, the Metam. Tam Rabbi Yossi. That makes sense. Rabbi Yossi would still say it's Tame because it is not a significant action. As we just mentioned, it's really some more of a machshava. Dikum Maisa, not really Maisa relevant to the thing itself. It's not relevant to the Yad. It's not relevant to the stem. So El Rabbi Yochanan Damar Bosan Mabash. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that breaking up means you're actually crushing them on Maim and Tam Rabbi Yossi, how could Rabbi Yossi say that it's Tame? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Ha'el Ruyas Lofchan Ve'eser. So this was as reference. This is the Gufa. We're just bringing back over here to tell us this sugya and going back to saying that I'm threshing for, there's something better for it. I mean, you're making it more shayach, better for you, more suitable to turn over the grain with this type of pitchfork, so then it makes it better to turn over the grain. That is why over here the Gemara is saying that is something that is beneficial. So now on the subject of an etzer, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, lamanim shalom tefilasim shazikim ke'etzer, that the tefilas of the tzaddikim are like a pitchfork. Once we're mentioning Esther, over here, where do we see Vayeser? Rashi says, Vayeser Yitzhak Lashem Lenoch Ishto. So he's entreating, so we have a lot of play on the words of Vayeser to a pitchfork. So where it says, a pitchfork turns over the grain, it's on the threshing floor and tosses it from one place to another. There's no such thing as Hashem changing his mind. That's a whole big machshava topic, not for now so much. But Hashem always wants what's greater for us, and He always wants us to do. So we ask for a fuah. Hashem wanted us to daven for that kaviyachol, and then He would come to change His judgment. He always wanted that from the first place. Midas achzaras, midas rachmanas. That's what tzaddikim do. That's called metzikas adinim. It's a very big thing for a tzaddik's role. If you look in Omal HaMelech, every other page has the metzikas adinim. That's what the tzaddik is supposed to be doing, is to remove the gzeiras and klal yisrael and make everything. And make the things that the whole avoda of the 3 weeks is Masikas Adinim, is removing Hashem's heart's judgment and destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and turning it into Yantiv and making it. We weren't zochet to that this year, but that's what we hope for, and that's what a tzaddik's role is in this world. That's the comparison to this this pitchfork. It apparently turns things over, such there's so kal v'yachol turning Hashem's ratzon from the midas of din to midas of racham. Okay, now we're up to the next mishnah. The next mishnah tells us mesachim and esarim. You're allowed to cover a sukkah with boards. There would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Yossi says that it's usher to carry to do them. The Gemara is going to discuss what's the problem over here and what's the shears. Three tefachim is more. Okay, we're going to get into that right away. Nasala neser shu rachav arba tefachim kshira. If one puts a board that is four tefachim wide on a sukkah, that is still going to be kosher, and you'll be yotze with that. Uvad shelo yishan tachta, but provided that he does not sleep beneath that area of the board. Again, that's going to be a shayla. Who is this talking to, and whether this is Rameh or Yehuda? Again, Gemara is going to discuss all of this. It says Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav told us. Machlokes bin nisaren sheyesh ben arba. The machlokes over here is with the boards that have a width of at least four tefachim. The Rabbi Meir is like Xeris Tikra. For Rabbi Meir says that there is the concept of Xeris Tikra, the roof of a house. Rabbi Yehuda lays like Xeris Tikra, whereas Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of this having a problem that in fact that it looks like a roof. If you're going to look like a roof, like a person is going to come to you to this house. You're going to think that it's okay to be in your house. It looks just like a house. What's the problem over here? So there's a Xeris Tikra that it looks, it's resembling a roof and resembling a house. Therefore, that's a problem. However, in the case of boards that don't have a width of four tzvachim, they're very cold kshir. The Rav is owner's of the opinion that even Rabbi Meir, who is Machmir, he would say that nobody built them that narrow. Everyone would agree that there's no such problem with regards to these boards because they're not the proper shear, they're nothing, they don't even resemble a house whatsoever. However, Shmuel is of a much more masculine opinion. Shmuel says, Shmuel Amar Kshein Bishain Behen Arba Machlokes. The machlokes of the boards that do not have a width of four tzvachim, aval yesh behen arba. But the case of the boards that do have a width of four tefachim, divrei hakol psula. It's going to be, everybody's going to agree that they are pasul. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Meir are going to agree that the boards are four tefachim wide, even meaning the chiddush is over here at Lechumra. Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that they are pasul. Rabbi Meir is only saying even narrow boards because they look like some roof, even though it's only, this is Rashi, it's going to be only the Havmir. I was going to say because it's a mute. Even minority people are going to think it's a problem. Rabbi Meir is choshesh lamiuta, he's choshesh lamiuta, and he makes zeros based on miuta. The Gemara is going to come on, we'll see that, we'll reject that. Rashi is going to say that premise is going to be rejected, but right now we're assuming that's the approach of Rabbi Meir, according to Shmuel. So the Gemara now says, according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, as explained by Shmuel, ein ben arba, the boards that don't have a width of four tefachim are going to be pasul. Ve'afilu pachos mishlosha. So, is that the case that even if they're less than three tefachim, how could that be? Hakadim be'almaninu. If their boards are less than three tefachim, that's the regular case of schach. What in the world is Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Shmuel saying that would be pasul according to Rabbi Meir? It can't be. So says the Gemara, Amar Papa Hachi Gemara. Now, so this is what we meant to say for Shmuel. That Shmuel is saying Yesh Ben Arba Divrei Kol Psula. The boards that have a width of four tefachim, you're right. Those everyone agree. Shmuel, that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, everyone's going to agree as possible. Pachas Mishlosha Divrei Kol Kshira. Whereas less than three tefachim, everyone's going to agree. Lavud Pasha. It's and just not even that. Not Lavud. That's Schach. I mean, you put that all across all of your boards. It's fine. So that's regular Schach. Not Lavud. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Kanim Almanim, they're regular sticks, and that's the regular case of schach. That's part of fully kosher schach. Kiplige, one of the disagreement, Mishlosha Ard Arba, disagreeing between three and four tefachim wide, Marsavar, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kevan, Delisnu, Shir, Makom, Lo Gazrina, since they don't lack a size of significance, they are not, we don't make a gzera, or Marsavar, Rabbi Meir says, no, Kevan, Denafki, Lamator's Lovud, Gazrina, since they are bad, they're bigger than the shear of Lovud, so Lovud is shaykh to the concept, but the meaning the Lovud is referring to a gap narrower than three tefachim. The board that is wider than three tefachim is significant, and therefore it's not shaykh to the halachas of Lovud, and therefore it shows that it's a significant board. So since it's significant for this purpose, therefore we're going to have this, according to Meir, a gzera that you should not use this shear for schach. Now Rashi, this was on point. Now Rashi agrees to explain Meir was based on the shear, the idea of Rav Meir Choshes Miyuta. Apparently, that is not the shita of Rav Meir anymore. That we're falling off of that. We're just assuming a different reason, and because something more than three tefachim is more chashuv, and it's shayach to make a gzera on something more than three tefachim, nothing to do with miyut anymore. So now the Gemara says that really, seemingly, we have a proof for Shmuel Tanan. The Mishnah says, "Nasan alei nasa shurachav arba tefachim kshira." In the end of our Mishnah, we said that if someone puts a board that's four tefachim wide on a sukkah, the sukkah is going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, again, that you don't sleep on it. So the Gemara now says, according to Shmuel, I understand this part of the Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to make a lot of sense. That it, again, when it comes to the boards that don't have a width of four tefachim, that's machlokas for Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone's going to agree. More than four tefachim, it's a problem. So then, mishumachi lo yishan tachtav. Then everyone's going to agree that you should not. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are going to agree that the boards of four tefachim, one should not sleep underneath them. Ela l'Rav damar b'sheyesh ben arba machlokas. But according to Rav, who says that the machlokas with the boards that don't have a width of four tefachim, aval ein behem arba divra kol kshira, whereas those who do not have a width of four tefachim are going to be kosher. So then, Rabbi Yehuda, my lo yishan tachtav, Rabbi Yehuda, why can't you sleep in them? According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is fully kosher schach. What's the problem? Why can't you sleep under it? So the Gemara says, why did you assume that hamsheikh of the Mishnah was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Misarva divya koli. Did you really think that ruling that we end in the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? It's not. That's only safe for us and the Rabbi Meir. That the end of the Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Meir, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't sleep beneath that board. Yeah, you're right. It's kosher schach. You can sleep under that board according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now we've just answered that we've deflected the proof against Rav, and Rav now gave a good answer to solution how he would read the Mishnah. The hamsheikh of the Mishnah is not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why I said when we read the Mishnah, it's going to be my focus. How to explain it? That's what Rav is saying over here. According to this, Rav is saying that this hamsheikh of the Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara wants to bring another proof. Tashma. I bring another proof from the Braisa. The Braisa says, Shtei Sadinim Mitzdarfin. If you have two sheets of invalid material, because it's something that's shaykh to, it's susceptible to tumah, so therefore it's possible for schach. So if it's four tefachim wide and runs across the middle of the schach, that's going to, the entire sukkah is going to be possible. So so the Braisa over here is talking about two sheets that are next to each other, they're less than four tefachim, but the total width is four tefachim. So the Mishnah is telling us, the Braisa rather, is telling us that they combine to form a four and tefach wide schach, which is going to puzzle the whole sukkah. So shnei sadinim mitzarfin. The two sheets over here are going to combine to say that it's puzzle. Shnei nisarfin mitzarfin. Two boards do not combine to puzzle the whole sukkah. So this part of the brisa seemingly is following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that boards are going to be kosher for schach. So the fact that two boards are next to each other for four tefachim, they would not possible each other, because even if the entire sukkah were covered with these boards, it'd be kosher. So the Gemara says, Rav Meir says, even boards are like sheets. So because it holds up that sheets are a problem, so two boards are a problem. So now the Gemara says, Bishlam al Shmuel. Now this price is understood according to Shmuel, the Rav Shein ben Arba Machlokas. It's understandable according to Shmuel. He holds that when the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Meir is regarding boards that don't have a width of four tefachim, al yesh ben Arba Devei Kol Psula. But when it comes to if you have boards that are more than four tefachim, everyone's going to agree that they're possible. So then the Ma'ay Mitzarfin. So what does it mean when Rav Meir says that they combine to say that the Pesukah is possible? Mitzarfin Arba, that they combine to form an area of four tefachim, which is going to possible the whole sukkah, and this is something that you, Rabbi Meir, was saying that you, Rabbi Yehuda, should agree. So, therefore, Shmuel's understanding that this is machlokas over here, and Bryce is referring to the boards in between three and four. Rabbi Yehuda holds that they are kosher. He holds that they don't even combine The fourth vachim, they're not going to disqualify the sukkah. Meir says what they do. So the Gemara says, so that's machlokas, whether they combine to each other, according to Shmuel. El Rav, Damar Sheish Ben Arba, machlokas. But according to Rav, who says the machlokas between Yehuda and Meir is dealing with boards that do have a width of four tefachim, and that's the case when it's machlokas, whether it's kosher or not. Rabbi Huda would say, even that's kosher, but ein ben arba divrei kol ksher, but if they don't have four, everyone, even Rabbi Meir, is going to agree that they're going to be kosher. Hechidami, what's the case in which Rabbi Meir says that the boards are going to combine to say that the sukkah is possible? Idi ispo arba, if they each have, individually, have a width of four tefachim, lam la'sirfa, you don't need any combination, it's pasha that is possible. Idi lispo arba, but if they don't have a width of four tefachim, amai, why would Rabbi Meir say that they're possible? Va'kanim elmaninu, they're just regular sticks. We said that's far before, that it's a regular stick. So how could a mayor say that narrower than four tefachim is going to be a problem? This should be pashut. Okay. They shouldn't combine. It should be pashut according to everybody. That shouldn't be an issue over here. So the Gemara answer is now for Rebbe Meir, for what Rebbe Meir could say according to Rav. So here, we're dealing with what each one was for tefachim and my starfin. So why does Rebbe Meir mean that to disqualify if they combine? Mitzarfin arba amos min atzad. He's telling you that they combine to the total width of four amos from the side of a sukkah. We know that we're talking about if you have the boards that are placed next to the sukkah walls where you have psul schach, and the entire sukkah is going to be at least four amos wide. So if that's the case, over here, the Bryce is telling us that the boards are four tefachim wide. Rabbi Meir is saying that they only if they combine to a total of four amos on the side. Rabbi Meir holds that even the boards are four tefachim, that is going to be okay because they're not possible at all. So in which case it would be totally kosher. So that's what's the machlokas according to Rav. So it says the Gemara lishnachrin. Another version of this proof and the answer for Rav. Bishlam lishmuel de amar b'shein ben arba machlokas. According to Shmuel, understand that there's machlokas Rabbi Meir with the boards with three to four tefachim. That's machlokas vayesh ben arba divrei kol psula. Whether there are more than four tefachim, then everyone's going to agree that it's possible. So my mistarfin, what does the brisa mean when it discusses the boards are combining for something? Mistarfin la arba amos minutzad. It means they are combining to form a total width of four amos from the side of the sukkah. El Rav, but according to Rav, who says that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Meir is applying to boards that are four tefachim wide, so the brisa it doesn't make sense. But some of the Meir, my mistarfin, mistarfin la arba amos minutzad, but they combine to a total of four amos from the side, as we just explained. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, afilu yesh ben arba kshira. With regards to Rabbi Yehuda, it says that even the boards that have a width of four tefachim are going to be kosher. What is this din of Mayim and Sarfin? Kanim Elmo, they're totally kosher. So what is this shayla? What is the fact they're combining? What does the tziruf here mean anything over here? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Mitzarfin implies that the boards are not able to combine with each other. Had they combined with each other, it would be a problem. But that's not true. Rav says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the boards could be as big as you want, and it's totally fine. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, so I did the Kama Rabbi Meir Mitzarfin, you're right. That Lashon is really, what's the word? It's not Meduyak, it's not precise. It's not a precise Lashon according to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Huda rather. Rabbi Meir, it is precise that it's combining, it's making an issue with the four Amos. However, according to Rabbi Huda, in Mitzarfin, Rabbi Huda is saying, he's using Lashon of combining, but the Rabbi Huda says it, even if the boards are bigger, he's just paralleling the Lashon, which nice again, were memorized. So it's keeping the Lashon the same, but according to Rabbi Huda, it's not precise. The fact that you say the combining, it implies that more than four Tvachim is going to be combined, is going to be an issue according to Rabbi Huda. No, that didn't mean that. In this case, the combining according to Rabbi Huda meant that even if it's more than four Tvachim, it would be totally fine, and it would be fine according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Tanaka Vasa, Rav, Tanaka Vasa, Shmuel. There's two braces, one supports Rav and one supports Shmuel. Tanaka Vasa, Rav, the brace that supports Rav is the following brace, Sikha bin Sarm shall eres she'in v'em arba. If you cover the sukkah with boards of cedar that do not have a width of four tefachim, then divrei kol ksher, everyone's going to be of the opinion that the sukkah is going to be kosher. Yesh bin arba, however, if they do have a width of four tefachim, and remeir and posa review the masher. We see over here that this is machlokas, is only when it is more than four tefachim. This is exactly ma'amish shashit of Rav. So the Gemara says, Amar Abiyuda continues. He brought a proof. Ma'isha b'shasakana. There was one time that there was the government ruled that you're not allowed to keep any mitzvahs. We've unfortunately had many of those times in our history. So shevinu nesarim shen arba. So we brought the boards that had a width of four tefachim, seemingly because they are going to be able to hide them. They're not going to be able to. They're going to think they're regular houses. They're very big. That look like houses. That was the whole gzera. So that wouldn't be an issue to look like a sukkah. And they're not going to think that people are mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. V'tzikrano gan prasas yadon taftei. And we covered a porch with them. And we sat beneath them to mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. So we see over here that more than four tefachim wide is not a problem. So the Gemara says, Amr lo, the respondent to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya. Can you bring a proof from there? That's very different. Ain shasakana raya. You can't say there's shasakana where you're about to. You know, there's gzeras of shmarim killing people. That this is a major shasakach. So therefore, normally in a chadam, but lechora this is a psul. But you have to find out again what type of psul is this. Clearly, this is a psul derabanan. Psul derabanan of lest you come to build something that looks like a house. So apparently, this din derabanan is not applicable in the times where we have a shemad. We have religious persecution, and apparently if you can't fulfill a mitzvah, that's interesting, because many times dinim derabanan that are connected to a mitzvah d'oraisa, we wouldn't say that you can uproot the mitzvah derabanan and do the mitzvah d'oraisa in the d'oraisa way, and be mekayim. Apparently over here, though, we see that it would be mutter in this circumstance, and you apparently can even make a bracha on this type of sukkah because of this major shahasad chak. I guess it was linked in the takana of Chazal for this specific takana, that would be okay. But as I mentioned, you can't apply this to other halachas where for whatever reason, whatever it was, that you can't be mekayim the mitzvah derabanan, you should try to do the derisa because we assume the derabanan doesn't apply. That's not necessarily true. A lot of times they're part and parcel linked into the way we do a mitzvah derisa. But here, apparently for the halacha of sukkah, we do see that that was the case. So the Gemara says, now that was the proof for Rav, Tanak Kavasa Shmuel. Now we have another proof for Shmuel. What's the proof for Shmuel? The proof for Shmuel is the following: Sikcha Minasarim Shel Eres Sheish Len Arba. Someone covered a sukkah with boards of cedar that have a width of 4 tefachim. Divrei Kol Psula. Everyone's going to agree the sukkah is going to be puzzle. Ein Bein Arba. If the boards do not have a width of 4 tefachim, Rabbi Meir Poisel, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Meir says that it's puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is going to be valid. So we see over here that Divrei Kol Psula, everyone's going to agree that it's possible if they are 4 tefachim, clearly like Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "Mo Rabbi Meir, Shemesh Penes Elenas or Kolenas." Rabbi Meir agrees that if between each board there is a space equal to the width of the board, so that in that case, whatever beard we're talking about, every type of board, so that would be then Shemaniach Psal Benayim. You could put Kasher Schach. The psal is going to be for the Hemshech Gemara at the very end. We're going to get to that. Lashon of psal literally is things that are coming out of literally something that is the lashon means that it literally psulis plus grod, some things that come out of the wine press on the floor. We mentioned that before, but that's a description of kasher schach. It's very interesting why the Gemara decides to use it often as a description of kasher schach. But either way, we're talking about putting in kasher schach between it and uksher, then the sukkah is going to be kasher. So okay, the Gemara is going to get into more of this in Yudches. We'll get into there why over here the fourth fachim do not say that the sukkah is going to be puzzle according to the view that schach. That's going to make the whole sukkah puzzle. Okay, we'll get into Beis Hashem when we get to Daf Yudches. But that's what Meir says over here. So now the Gemara just continues. The Braisa continues. We're mentioning Aga. We already brought the proof for Shmuel. But the Gemara says, "Moder Bihuda Shem Nesan La Neser Shurachav Arba Tefachim." Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that if you put a Neser, if you put a board that is 4 tefachim wide on the sukkah, kasher. The sukkah is going to be kasher. Ve'in Yashim Tachtav. You're not allowed to sleep beneath that board. Ve'yashim Tachtav Le'yatzei Dechavasa. You're not going to fulfill your obligation. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says the board narrower than 4 tefachim is going to be okay, he agrees it's usher to sleep under the 4 tefachim board, even as it's within the 4 amos of the wall, and that would be a problem. Okay, so that just that's the end for now with regards to the lacha of boards. So how do we paskin? So we actually paskin that these nisarim, these boards, are going to be puzzle for schach if they're 4 tefachim wide. That is how the Rif, Rush, Rambam, all paskin. That's the big three. That's the Shulchan Aruch paskin. That's clearly how we paskin. However, we're even more machmer than that. We're more machmer, even more narrow boards. These narrow boards are going to be a problem because we're afraid you put them all together and the rain's not going to be able to come through it, and that's an issue. And also, the whole reason of Gezeres Nisarim doesn't really apply, it's still different. You're still going outside, you're putting up your sukkah. Still, l'chora, many of the achorim do paskin that we have to be machmer about this. That's why when you have the sukkah boards, a lot of them are less than 4, but our minute again would still be a problem. That's why you don't have, people don't, why do we use the mats or other things? We put up the wooden boards as supports, and then put on top of that the kasher schach, because that's what we really hold based on our minhag, that even if they're less than 4 tefachim, that would still be a problem to use boards for the schach. Although meikar din less than 4 tefachim wouldn't be that this is the minhag, but more than 4 tefachim, that's really an issue. That's a mamish issue. If they're more than 4 tefachim wide, using those type of boards would majorly be an issue. Some achrodim, Sabrata Niyaskil Avdi discusses it. At least discusses the shayla. Maybe we should say that the gzeres nisarim b'chlal doesn't apply. Nobody thinks that looks like a house whatsoever nowadays. But lamaisa, the poskim seem to assume that that would be a full fledged psul and a major issue if you have you're just using boards that are more than 4 tefachim. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Now Itmar. So once we were discussing the halacha of boards, we're talking about if you turn them over. So Itmar. Hafchan al tzidein. If one turned boards on their sides. So Rav Huna Amar Psula, Rav Chisda Amar Kshir. So we're talking about, we had this 4 tefachim boards, but you lie them on the side, then they're going to be, Rashi points out, they're going to be less than three tefachim. So are they going to be kosher if you do that? Because fundamentally they're puzzle, but you flip them on their side, you turn them over, so then they're much thinner. So if they're much thinner, that would be okay. So the Gemara says, so Rav Huna says that they're puzzle, and Rav Chisda Rav Huna said that they're kosher. There's a machlokas over here. So the Gemara says, so Ikla Rav Nachman Asura. Rav Nachman once came to visit Sura. All the Gabi Rav Chista Rav Huna came to visit him. Amri Lei Hafkan Al Tzidei and Mao. Someone turned their boards on their side. What's the halacha? Well, they wanted to know because they hold that it was kosher. Amri Lipsula. He said it was possible. Nasu Kishibun Shematach. It says like it's like spits of metal. That spits of metal they're intrinsically possible to be used as schach. And then if you turn them over, it's also a problem. It's here too. These boards are fundamentally possible. You can't just turn them over and say no. Now they're kosher. They're fundamentally boards that are longer than four tefachim wide. So Amr Lehu Rav Huna said upon hearing Rav Nachman's response, Lo Amr Lehu Kavasi, didn't I tell you Rav Nachman's going to pass unlikely? Like, I knew that he was going to pass unlikely. Apparently he said that he knew Rav Nachman's going to pass unlike him. Amr Lehu, so they responded to him, Umi Amr Lan, Maratam El Kol Yumine. But you didn't give us your reasoning. So Amr Lehu, Umi Besuminai, Time of Lam, did you ever ask me my reason? I would have explained my reason like Rav Nachman. It's a fundamentally puzzle thing. And therefore we apparently, since Rav Nachman agrees that that's why Paskin, that if you have a four tefachim board, you turn it over, they're also fundamentally puzzle and you can't fix it. So by turning it over. So where's it? Let me masayleg. Maybe we can assume that the Bryce is supporting him. In a mapsakas, kide rosha verubah shulchan. If you have a sukkah that doesn't fit your head, most of your body, and your table, so the ocean if it's up here, so kishidakra babas rosha, or the sukkah has a opening in one of the walls. It's so big for a goat to come in. To go through it, or a sukkah which placed a board that is four tefachim wide. You only put three tefachim within that sukkah psula. So seemingly, this is mamash the case. You have a four tefachim thing that you're turning over to make it a three tefachim. So the Gemara says, "Hichidami, what's the case of the board over here?" So isn't it lechora my love? Kigon shavchal tzidei. Aren't we talking about a case we turn the boards on the side? And that's mamash the case of the brisa, which is seemingly support for Rav Nachman that is totally puzzle. So the Gemara says, "No, lo. What are we talking about over here? My skin. What are we talking about over here? Kigon de ancha." The ancha apuma de matalta. You put the board in the entrance to the sukkah in a way to ayal tlasa laga v'apikhad libar. That you put the three tefachim wide in a way that the sukkah is extending beyond the sukkah. The havelei psali psul hayotze psali yotze min a sukkah. We're talking about a case of schach that's extending beyond the sukkah. We have a picture. It'd be helpful over here. At four tefachim board, and it's going beyond the sukkah. We're talking about a very small sukkah over here. So therefore, chopazi yotze min a sukkah is kesukkah. That psal that's going beyond the sukkah is like the sukkah itself. And this case is telling us that the schach is extending beyond the walls. In our case, the entire board, including the tevach, is going to be on the walls, and therefore, it's going to be puzzle. The Bryce is telling us that would be puzzle because it's too small to show that the boards, you don't have the 7x7 tefachim. So that, of schach, of kasher schach, so that's why over here it's puzzle. So therefore, you can't bring a raya from this Bryce. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah of Tikra, She'in, Alei Maziva, the next time on the Tesvav, Bez Hashem, tomorrow.